out of the heartland. A voice of the people, by the people, and for the people. This is the Jake Merrick Show. On the new Freedom 96.9.
Good morning, Oklahoma, and you awakened Oklahoma Patriot. Good to be with you this morning, Tuesday, April 23rd, 7:03 a.m. Looks like it's 55 degrees outside and windy. Man, that wind is blowing strong this morning. Looks like it's blowing in some rain to come this week, so get ready for that. Also, get ready for this show. We got a full one for you. Got your headlines coming up. We got Don Spencer, of course, for 2A Tuesday, going to give us an update on what's happening up at the Capitol. Then we got candidate Jim Shaw. He's running for a House seat. We're going to get an update on him, what his campaign's looking like. But first, let's get to these headlines.
Headlines from home with Jake Merrick on Freedom 96.9.
All right, the Oklahoma Supreme Court throws out a letter that supports the state education department, saying that the letter was written by someone who doesn't exist. All right, we got another bill that would consolidate more power in the legislature. It involves the initiative petition process. And then the House releases its budget blueprint, finally, to get a glimpse into what they're working on. All right, first, headline number one, we got this lawsuit between Edmond Schools and the state education department. State Department of Education, and it's over book bans, and particularly those found in the library that have sexually explicit material. The State Superintendent Ryan Walters has said these need to go. Edmond disagrees. Of course, I interviewed Ryan Walters a while back. You can catch that interview on the archive shows, but he laid out what happened from his perspective, saying that he approached them saying that these books had explicit material in them. They needed to go. They actually agreed. They said, yeah, we agree, and then followed up with a lawsuit. So it's interesting how things play out sometimes. But they filed this lawsuit against the Department of Education, and they asked the court to decide who has the authority to ban books in Oklahoma classrooms. And there was a letter that was submitted to the court in favor of the Department of Education. And it was from a parent. And the court eventually determined this parent, Randy Santosa, does not exist. So Edmond Public Schools said it has no record of a parent by that name, and the phone number given is registered to someone else entirely. So they threw out the letters. Man, what is happening here? I'm interested in this. Obviously, we're dealing with an isolated event in Edmond, but it's not so isolated as we're looking at schools across the state, and this is across the nation, as books have been uncovered and discovered in school libraries that have things that we just don't want our kids seeing. Some would say that it needs to be age appropriate. Even that, I believe, is relative. I mean, there's things that you might allow for your kids that I don't want my kids to see. And so, you know, of course, we always have to put the priority on the parents and ensure that the parents have the ultimate oversight over their child. And that starts with the parents, right? I mean, I sent a letter to my kids' teachers yesterday and the day before over issues with homework. So when my kid has a problem at school, I get all up in the mix. I get all up in there and communicate with the teachers, with the principal. We're going up there today, actually. Nothing bad happening. We just have a little meeting. So we are very much involved in our kids' education and lives. And I would encourage you to be as well if you're a parent out there listening. Don't assume that all is well. Show up at the parent-teacher conferences. Get to know what they're hearing and learning in school. And what they're reading, what's available for them to read, what movies they're watching in class. These things are so critical. The books that are under the microscope right now in Edmond are The Glass Castle by Jeanette Walls and The Kite Runner by Khalid Hosseini, I think is how you say his name. The Kite Runner and The Glass Castle. And so these are both award-winning books. And, you know, that's often used as an argument to keep something around is because they've won an award one time. Well, I want to look at who's giving these awards, for one. And then let's set that aside and actually look objectively at the content and say, hey, it may have won an award, but does it belong here in our library? And if it is in the library, I think you as a parent need to know about it and have the ultimate say if whether or not your kid gets to see it. So this is an ongoing lawsuit here between Edmond Public Schools and the Department of Education. We'll see how this unfolds. I think that it'll have a great impact for schools across the state and possibly across the nation, setting precedents. And also talking about the authority of the Department of Education and the state superintendent and what they are. I mean, this is obviously, man, a big issue up at the Capitol this year is what are the boundaries of the authority of the Department of Education and the state superintendent? And there's an attempt to stack the board, add new members to it. So some would say this would be to dilute the power of those that are presently there. But this is definitely an issue, a hot issue up at the Capitol and in the state. So we'll keep an eye on this particular lawsuit and how it unfolds. Moving on to headline number two, we got Senate Bill 518 that recently cleared the House and the Senate. We look at the votes here in the Senate. We got 38 to 8 with, it looks like, all Democrats voting against, all Republicans voting for. This is a bill dealing with the ballot initiatives in the House. It was 72-25. Again, looks like straight down party lines. No, we had a couple of Republicans voting against it as well. I need to get their take on it, why they opposed this. Because I do believe this is a very much very needed issue in the state dealing with the initiative petition process. Now, I interviewed Senator Bullard the other day, and here's a little bit from our interview where he addresses this issue of the initiative petitions.
And so, but the problem is not necessarily in ranked choice balloting. We've got the ability to shut down ranked choice balloting here. It's a matter of whether or not some outside group like George Soros could come in here and put in on our state constitution an amendment. And there's really very, it's so easy to get it on our system right now and get it on our balloting right now that we have a major, major dilemma within our balloting. And so we've actually, I've run a bill, I continue to work on it, that just says that no more than 5% of the signatures can come from one county. And it forces them to get to more Oklahomans in other parts of the state other than just camp out in Oklahoma County and Tulsa County. It forces them to get out and make more people participate, and they're not going to get ranked choice balloting or abortion on demand or any of these kinds of things if they have to go outside of those two counties to get it in Oklahoma. So we've got to put safeguards in on our initiative petition, or we're going to get things like ranked choice balloting and abortion on demand and ESGs.
So, you know, that is the issue, is a lot of these initiatives are a desperate attempt from the left to have a voice. And we know that the majority of the left of liberal progressive ideas are centralized in the metros of Oklahoma City and Tulsa. And so when a proposition is put forth, like legalizing marijuana, like expanding Medicaid, like abortion on demand, these kinds of things, well, there's a minimum number of signatures required to get it on the ballot, and those signatures are largely accumulated just in the metros alone. And so this bill would seek to expand that and require them to get petitions from signatures from around the state. I think this is very much needed. It's got a lot of criticism saying it's trying to shut down the voice of the people. But the goal is to actually make it harder for citizens to get state questions on the ballot. Indeed, it is. It should not be an easy process. It should not be an easy process to get a bill passed into law. All of this should be very, very difficult with checks and balances. That's what the Founding Fathers envisioned and instituted, and that's what we must preserve, is this filtering process. You got to work. Because when it becomes law and it affects everyone and it compromises freedom, well, it's a major issue. It's a major issue. So it's not meant to be easy. But that is Senate Bill 518 And it looks like it has cleared the House and the Senate. And so I expect the governor to sign that. That'll make a big difference here with initiative petitions in the state. All right, headline number three, the House budget. They have recently released a blueprint, and it ended the stalemate between the House and the Senate. You know, the House has been holding out. The Senate started off the session saying they want to have ultimate transparency, and I applaud the Senate's efforts in this area to have greater transparency when it comes to the budget. And we all know, maybe you don't, but you should, that this is, first of all, the constitutional obligation of the legislature, is that they have a budget. So if they don't do anything else in the legislative year, they have to have a budget for the state. And so it is priority, and it's often used to strong-arm the other chamber. And so they have historically held these pretty close to the vest, their budget plans. The Senate has come out saying, hey, we're going to change the tradition and we're going to come out with openness and transparency. The House said, we're going to go and hang on to ours and use it for more leverage to ensure we get the bills heard that we want to get heard. But on Wednesday, the day after last Wednesday, the House released its blueprint. And the Senate suspended its deadline for House bills to be heard in committee to permit a group of budget-related bills to be heard by the Senate Appropriation Committee. More than 20 bills that modify existing programs or create new ones were heard by the committee and passed on Thursday. And now they need to be heard on the floor by April 25th. So that deadline's coming up in 2 days. So when you look at this House blueprint and the Senate's resolution, it shows that the House and Senate agree on the appropriation amount for more than a dozen state agencies and programs. Roger Thompson, he's the Senate Appropriations Chair, he called that noteworthy. And Charles McCall was optimistic, suggested the legislature could take up the final appropriation bills as early as the 1st of May and send them to the governor's desk. So after all of this delay, it could mean that they could have a budget resolved by the middle of May. So that's pretty impressive. The House is still wanting to try to get a cut on state income tax. The Senate, that the House is. The Senate is holding out saying, though, they're only doing the grocery tax cut that we saw happen earlier this year. They're not going any further. The House is going to see if they can still get a little bit of relief for Oklahomans on the state income tax. So I'm rooting for the House on this one. How about you? I want to hear what you have to what you think about tax reform in the state. I'm going to be talking with Jim Shaw in just a minute about what he thinks about tax reform in the state as he's running for a House seat in Oklahoma. So I'd love to hear what you think as well. Jake at freedom969.com. Of course, you can text at 919-8679. That's area code 405, 919-8679. All right, we got to wrap this up and get to a break because I got Don Spencer on the line. We're going to get to your 2A Tuesday update and find out what he's seeing up at the Capitol. First, a big shout out to Modus Health. You're helping you get aligned and healthy, making those adjustments in your joints. Not only so you have relief in your joints, your back pain, your knee pain, your shoulder pain, but also understanding how it's connected to actual brain health and overall wholeness and optimal function of your body. So I love what they do there. We go and see them. You go check them out at modushealth.com. All right, stay tuned. We've got more to come on the Jake Merrick Show. Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Let's check out Freedom Traffic. Yukon to downtown, 25 minutes. Norman to downtown, 28 minutes. Edmond to downtown, 22 minutes. And Midwest City to downtown, 23 minutes. Eastbound I-44 will be narrowed between Southwest 89th and 74th. That's going on today and tomorrow for that ongoing project. It's windy out there. Buckle up and drive careful. That's Freedom Traffic.
Only one station has the power to cover Oklahoma with freedom. And you're listening to it. Your 100,000-watt talker is the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com.
QC Kinetics announces the arrival of National Medical Director Dr. Mitchell Sheinkup, an acclaimed orthopedic surgeon with two decades of experience and extensive research in regenerative medicine.
I was one of the first orthopedic surgeons to do it, and at the same time, I integrated clinical research that's resulted in several publications that are really directing the future of regenerative medicine. I was drawn to QC Kinetics after I reviewed their protocols, and everything they were doing is consistent with my own approach.
Today, Dr. Sheinkup leads the entire team of medical professionals at QC Kinetics, taking this exciting medical breakthrough to a whole new level.
What we are doing at QC Kinetics is transforming lives.
Get lasting joint pain relief. Call QC Kinetics now for your free consultation.
This is the future of medicine.
Call QC Kinetics, 405-900-PAIN. That's 405-900-PAIN. Locations in Oklahoma City and Edmond, 405-900-PAIN.
Sugar Creek Casino presents Jason Bolin and the Stragglers. Live Saturday, May 4th at Sugar Creek Casino's Event Center. Celebrating their 25th anniversary tour, Jason Bolin and the Stragglers. Get your tickets by phone, Players Club, or online at sugarcreekcasino.com. Don't miss Jason Bolin and the Stragglers live at Sugar Creek Casino. Celebrating their 25th anniversary tour, Jason Bolin and the Stragglers. Live Saturday, May 4th, Sugar Creek Casino's Event Center. Get your tickets by phone, Players Club, or online at sugarcreekcasino.com.
The drama in Washington impacts us all. Stay up to date and informed by listening to Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com.
Dan Bongino.
The liberals that used to at least pretend to believe in civil liberties, that's entirely gone. I hope you understand that. The left is all in. And I mean all in, not just dipping in the swimming pool. I mean diving in the deep end on censorship and the weaponization of government. All in the pool. You want to trust them with this? Not a chance.
The Dan Bongino Show, weekdays 11 to 2 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Welcome back to the Jake Merrick Show, where truth is the only news on the new Freedom 96.9.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. 7:20 a.m., 55 degrees outside, and it is Tuesday, so you know what that means.
I have a constitutional right to bear arms.
Look, I've got my rights.
I know my rights.
It's my right as a man.
So now I'd like to exercise my right to free assembly.
This is 2A Tuesday on the new Freedom 96.9.
All right, we love our 2A Tuesday, checking out what legislation is happening and pushing through at the Capitol, and especially that involving our Second Amendment. Here to help us with it is Don Spencer. Welcome to the show, Don.
Good morning, brethren. Hey, we had one disappointment last week, and that would be SJR 34.
Yes, as totally shocked.
As we have discussed, this would have pulled the JNC, which is the Judicial Nominating Committee, which is 15 people, you or I have no idea who they are, and put the responsibility back within the legislature. So I'm stunned that this was voted down 36-60.
That was too.
The second part is, with the legislators I've talked to, it's amazing that I can look in their face and I can ask them to vote for something, but they don't trust themselves enough to take that responsibility. But they're going to leave it in the hands of 15 people. We have no idea who they are.
Right.
Just brilliant.
Right. It just boggles my mind. I mean, this would shift the responsibility and the opportunity of elected officials, which means that the actual people and the voters would be involved in the process because their elected representatives would now have a chance to be involved in this process of electing and appointing our justices across the state, all the way up to the highest court, Supreme Court here in Oklahoma.
Right.
So, you know, I don't understand why conservatives voted against this.
It would be that the attorney's counsel was pushing this. Also, it was kind of embarrassing to watch in the House of Representatives the amount of attorneys that were coming to the aid of the attorney's counsel and not to the will of the people. So, I mean, this has been very popular across the state, and so the legislature has just flat ignored the people on this. So, anyway. All right, so we got other big stuff. Senate Bill 1218 is available to be heard in the House of Representatives. This bill specifically stops discrimination against 18-year-olds being able to purchase a firearm. So that's going to clear that up. Now, what is the exciting thing about this is that we are amending the Private Property Protection Act into the bill. If you're familiar with this, this will extend the castle doctrine from the walls of your house all the way to the edge of your property and include the defense of property. And while we have this onslaught of illegals coming in from both the north and southern borders, a person should be able to defend their property, and so we need to get this done. So please call legislators, your legislators, and let them know you want Senate Bill 1218 with the amendment for the Private Property Protection Act to pass.
What is the resistance against this?
Republicans.
Republicans and again. Why? What is the argument?
The argument is basically that this is an OK2A bill, Don Spencer bill. Therefore, Don Spencer tells everyone how we do and what we do in hiding, and so therefore we're going to kill it.
But just to recap, the content of the bill is to ensure that 18-year-olds can purchase a firearm. That's the main thrust of the bill?
That's the original part of the bill. That is correct.
Okay. Well, you know, considering that in colonial days, if we look back at our history, if you were 16 years old in most states, you were required by law to own a firearm so that you could serve in the local militia so you could do your duty to protect your family and your community. And now we're at the point where 18-year-olds aren't mature enough.
Yeah, well, here's the other part of this, too. An 18-year-old can purchase a rifle or a shotgun. And so what we're doing as the state of Oklahoma saying, okay, federal government, whenever you get your act together, we already recognize an 18-year-old can buy a pistol. We're waiting for the courts to say, hey, the 18-year-olds can't buy it. So we've already approved it in the state of Oklahoma. We're just ahead of the game. That's what we're doing here. So that's how we're on that. Now, we've got also a couple other bills in the House of Representatives, Senate Bill 721. It clarifies that an SDA license is a handgun license, and there's not a requirement that you take it for a Derringer, revolver, or semi-automatic. It's just a handgun license. And so that's one of the changes that needs to take place. And also, a big switch was House Bill 2643. This is clarifying that a person with a medical marijuana card can also acquire an Oklahoma Self-Defense Act handgun license. This should have been done years ago, and that's what we're at. So
okay.
That's what we've got going so far, sir.
Hey, well, I want to ask you. I just got this text right before you came on. Have you heard about the Watson family?
No.
I just got this. I'm kind of breaking news, I think. But I'd love to. I'm just going to read this to you because I want to get your take on it. They were actually a family, went to Turks and Caicos with their two young children. And they're detained now in a foreign country with no resolution in sight. It says the Waltons were in Turks and Caicos with multiple couples celebrating several of their friends' 40th birthdays. They had their lives turned upside down when they returned home, when they tried to return home. At the local airport, security found four rounds of ammunition unknowingly left in a duffel bag from a deer hunting trip. It was not noticed by TSA when leaving America. Now they are facing a legal system that is unfamiliar, daunting, and expensive. They're stuck in Turks and Caicos. It says that currently the minimal custodial sentence in Turks and Caicos is 12 years for having firearms or ammunition in the country. And wow, I mean, this was just sent to me by a listener. Stephanie, I appreciate you listening and for sending this to me, but definitely something I thought you'd be interested in and we need to keep our eye on, but there's a GoFundMe.
I did hear about this, and the Don Spencer himself, before going through any type of a screening point, definitely cleans out his bag and checks everything to make sure that there's not an empty one in there from that. It's obvious that you and I both know, we'll just keep the ammo government and just get the people on their plane and send them on their way. They're not a threat to anything. But again, this is a reminder, folks, they want to do this in America.
Yeah.
This is what they're wanting to do here. And Joe Biden has been very clear about it. They want to not only take your guns, they want to take your ammo. They want to hook you up on anything they can to make an example of you so you do not try to exercise or push back against the government. So
Reminder. It's a reminder. We better be vigilant. Clean out your bags for sure, but also understand that there is an assault, an attack, and a plan against you to strip you of your rights. So we've got to be vigilant, no doubt.
Right. And they will try to do this even at the state capital of Oklahoma. And that's why OK2A is there to keep an eye on things and attempt work to get our rights back that should have never been taken away.
Don, in 30 seconds, you have time for a semi-personal question.
Sure.
All right.
Now that it's in English,
right.
Come do it in English.
That's the only language I speak, so here it comes. Now, I had a listener said, hey, was Don raised in a liberty-minded home? I thought that was an interesting question. Were you raised in a liberty-minded home, Don?
My dad, it was interesting. My dad was a Republican. My mom was a Democrat. Common sense people. My dad taught me basic gun safety, even though he didn't really hunt. But it just, you know, there's a thing that turns in your life real quick that says, man, we don't need the government down our throat. And that clicked in me somewhere along the way. But my parents were definitely planted good seeds.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, appreciate your time here and the work you're doing up at the Capitol and across the state. So, Don, appreciate you. Let's do it again next Tuesday.
Have a good day.
All right.
Thank you.
Don Spencer with OK2A. Go check out what they're doing. Of course, they have their candidate survey. We're going to get to a candidate coming up, Mr. Jim Shaw. He is running for a House representative for us, if I can get to talk this morning, for a House seat, 32 here in Oklahoma. We'll find out what he thinks about gun rights, about immigration, about whatever is important to him. We're going to give him a chance to speak his platform and why he's running and what he would like to see changed here in Oklahoma. Man, it is election season. Tons of candidates out there. If you're a candidate and you would like to be on the show, just let me know. Jake@freedom969.com. And if you've reached out to me and you haven't heard from me yet, be patient. Hey, be patient, but also reach out again, okay? I get a ton of emails every day, so send it to me again. I don't want to ignore you. So if you would like to be on the show, send your request to me, Jake@freedom969.com. All right, I've got more to come from candidate Jim Shaw coming up after the break right here on the Jake Merrick Show, Freedom 96.9.
The multi-billion-dollar foreign aid bill will soon be voted on by the Senate, perhaps as early as today after it cleared the House. The bill includes more money for Ukraine, along with Israel and Taiwan. Insisting that he committed no crime, former President Trump goes back to court this morning as his criminal trial continues. He's accused of trying to illegally influence the 2016 election. The defense says that trying to influence the outcome of an election is called democracy and is not a crime. Columbia University canceled in-person class. Police arrested dozens of students at New York University and Yale as anti-Israel protests roil a growing number of college campuses across the U.S. And a crackdown on how California utilities spend customers' money has failed to pass the state legislature. On Wall Street, the Dow futures up 28 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Hard to find agreement on much these days, except here's one thing: how we pay for health care. It's too complex, it's too expensive, it's frustrating. Very few people are happy with it, and some people have genuine moral reservations about some of the stuff they're now forced to pay for. This is why MediShare is so refreshing. Hundreds of thousands of people have joined and are much happier with it, and not just because they're glad to be part of a Christian community that shares with each other, or how it all works so reliably, or the exceptional customer service, or the massive network of providers. With MediShare, you save a substantial amount of money. For 30 years now, members have been saving an average of 50% on their health care, because when you share, you save. And you don't have to sacrifice your values to get real value and something you're much happier with. Call now, 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE, 844-45-BIBLE.
And now the weather.
Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. A breezy start to the day with clouds and sunshine in the afternoon hitting a high of 80 degrees. Thunderstorms overnight dipping down to 57. Tomorrow's cloudy as well with another round of showers and storms in the afternoon, 65. Thursday and Friday are going to be days where you definitely want to have a way to get weather alerts because there could be strong to even severe storms. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, this is Jeff Nordine.
Any
election year 2024. Knowledge is power. Combine that with 100,000 watts of power, and you have the only talk station broadcasting freedom all over Oklahoma. So set a button and tell all your friends about the station at 96.9, proclaiming freedom. The new Freedom 96.9.
It happens every year, and here we go again. It's Truck Month at Stevens Ford in Enid. Truck Month means even greater Stevens Ford discounts, higher Ford incentives, and lower financing rates. If you've had any thought about trading for a new Ford, this is your chance to make your thoughts reality at a money-saving price. Maverick, Ranger, F-150, Super Duty, cab and chassis, they're all included in this annual event. But at Stevens Ford in Enid, the savings don't stop with trucks, because we put Truck Month savings on every new Ford vehicle in stock. Ford Bronco and Bronco Sport, you bet, they're all included and available. And whatever you do, don't let a low credit score keep you from these savings, because our goal is always 100% credit approval. We never take no for an answer when it comes to getting you approved. Truck Month means greater savings at Stevens Ford and Enid. And remember, we'll beat any deal, and I do mean any deal, regardless, at Stevens Ford and Enid.
Get ready to bid. Over 500 cattle will be sold this Friday at Express Ranches in Yukon. This sale will feature 160 Angus and Hereford bulls, spring pairs, and fall bred cows and heifers, including 100 commercial Angus fall bred heifers. Express Ranches grass time sale will be this Friday at noon at the ranch. You can bid in person or online. View the catalog, videos, and sort the cattle at expressranches.com. You don't want to miss this offering. Over 500 cattle. The Express Ranches grass time sale in Yukon this Friday at noon.
Second Best isn't good enough when it comes to your tractor's performance. You know it. We know it. That's why we run Fendt tractors. One test drive can show you the difference between a great tractor and a truly exceptional machine. Ready to set up a demo? Get behind the wheel of a Fendt to experience it for yourself and see why the best run operations run Fendt. Your local dealer is now serving you as Parallel Ag. Learn more at ParallelAg.com. We keep you running 24/7.
A voice of the people, by the people, and for the people. The Jake Merrick Show on the new Freedom 96.9.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show, 7:35 a.m. Talking, it's still 55 degrees outside and probably still blowing out there. But, man, hold on to your hats. I had a few people texting in saying that they appreciated the interview with Senator Bullard and their efforts with the initiative petitions. And so if you want to hear more of that interview, there's a lot more to that. You can go to the Jake for the State platform and find that full interview on the YouTube channel, Jake for the State. All right, moving to my next guest, we have a candidate for House District 32, Mr. Jim Shaw. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate you coming in. I appreciate, you know, like I always say, I love to see people jumping in the process. Right. And I mean, it's a big sacrifice, as you find out pretty quickly.
Yes.
When did you decide that you wanted to jump into this and run for House District 32?
I mean, I guess you could say it's been relatively recent. I mean, over the years, moving out to Lincoln County with my wife and kids 3 years ago, I mean, obviously you learn about things, and no place is perfect. There's always room for improvement wherever you're at. But, you know, certain things have popped up that, you know, we feel like aren't getting the attention that they deserve. But I guess, you know, my choice or you know, being led to jump into the race was relatively recent, you know, a couple months ago.
So. Right, right. What, so you mentioned your family. You have a wife and two kids, two girls?
Correct, correct.
All right. And what have you been doing the last few years? What's your work?
Yeah, so I've been in the private sector for 20 years, oil and gas. Most recently, the last 12, I've been on the software side of the house as a vendor for, you know, software and services, still, you know, focused on oil and gas. Co-owned and operated a business here in Oklahoma City. Sold that a couple of years ago. Still within the space, but, you know, all kind of energy focused. So,
okay. Yeah. So I'm guessing then that as you're looking at running, as you are running and looking at the possible election into the House, that would probably be one of your main focuses is energy.
Absolutely. No, it certainly is. And, you know, obviously with you know, across the nation and within this state, you know, renewable energy has become a very big topic that people are very passionately for or against. And there's, you know, certain industrial-sized wind and solar complex projects that are being slated for my county and in Lincoln County. And I'm, you know, that's part of the platform that I'm running against. I'm not in favor of those for a whole host of reasons. And obviously my background is very heavy in oil and gas. So,
yeah. Now, I like to give people a glimpse into the process, too. Those out there that, hey, maybe they were thinking about running, but they decided not to for last minute, for whatever reason.
Right.
And so as you made the decision to move forward and enter this race, what were some of your first steps? I mean, were you very familiar with the legislative process or the election process or completely unfamiliar? I mean, was it new territory for you coming into this?
Admittedly, I mean, I would say it's fairly new territory, right? I mean, I hadn't, you know, really been super involved in the past, you know, becoming more aware of things in recent years. But all in all, I guess relatively unfamiliar with the process.
Right. And so I know that's a reason that a lot of people hire consultants. They get a campaign manager to deal with some of that stuff that you're just unfamiliar with.
Sure.
And so I know the pain. You know, I jumped in to run for Congress right off the bat and saying, what am I doing? So thankfully, I was surrounded by so many good people, volunteers, and people who'd done this before who helped guide me. And I ultimately did not hire a consultant or a campaign manager. But how about you? Have you chosen a consultant or a campaign manager for your race?
You know, so we've been very blessed to be surrounded by a group of folks that have been very supportive and you know, have acted as kind of advisors through the process. So that's been really good. Ultimately, you know, the community that we're a part of and some really close friends of ours were the ones that kind of introduced the idea, you know, like maybe, hey, you should take a look at this or think about this. And ultimately it boiled down to an entire weekend just devoted to prayer and conversation with the Lord and just really feeling led and convicted from Him to do it. So that's ultimately all that matters and you know, what I was, you know, trying to be obedient to.
So. Yeah, I love it. So you don't have a consultant?
So I'm working with some folks, right, that are helping, but it's all very informal at the moment.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I love that, honestly.
Yeah.
And I'll help any way I can as well in that process.
That.
Wind farms.
Yes.
You're out in Lincoln County.
Yep.
And interviewed a couple of people on the show in the past talking about wind farms. There's kind of a big pushback, specifically in Lincoln County, to ensure that the wind turbines are not expanded across the county.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that. You come from the energy sector. You kind of have a little bit of insider information.
Yeah.
Are you biased to the oil and gas industry? Because that's your industry?
Yeah. I mean, you could say that. I mean, just on paper, you know, I would probably have a propensity to be a little biased that direction, but through a whole lot of research and fact gathering, you know, over the last few weeks, months, I mean, really the exposure that I've gotten to that industry, you know, over the last few years, it is very definitively, you know, not a good thing to get involved with. There's huge environmental, economical, you know, property, you know, rights issues that it creates. I mean, biased or not, there's plenty of facts and evidence out there that they're not really valuable. They don't do what they claim to do, and have a lot of negative consequences to them.
Right. So, I mean, let's just talk about some of that if you want to. I mean, this is supposed to be good for the environment.
Right.
But you're saying it actually can have a negative impact on the environment.
Yes. So, I mean, during the installation process, I mean, the way that they go to deploy these and actually get these on the ground, I mean, the materials that are being used, the process that's being used, the disruption to the community, to the land that it's actually getting installed on, is dramatically different when you compare that to oil and gas.
Yeah, I recently saw a story, and I believe it's here in Oklahoma. I'll try to do a quick search and confirm that, but it just reminded me of it as we're sitting here talking of a lady that one of the wind turbines was leaking,
yes,
leaking oil.
Yeah.
And she started seeing a residue on her car.
Yes.
And she's asking the question, is this going into the streams? Is this going into the ground? I mean, this is supposed to be green, but it's throwing oil all over the place.
Yes. No, I read that as well. And that's not an uncommon thing. I mean, there's stories all over the nation of you know, very similar incidents. You know, there's evidence that, you know, they can contaminate the water tables underneath and, you know, affect drinking water. And, you know, obviously, you know, the economic impact to it, there's, you know, property values that are severely impacted by these, even just at the thought of them. Right. I mean, we've heard of, you know, real estate, you know, currently, the market in Lincoln County being affected by it, and they're not even there yet. At least in the area that, mm-hmm. that, you know, is closer to my home. So, It's a very real issue.
You know, this was actually in Kay County. I found it. It was a lady in Kay County. It was a turbine owned by Deriva Energy. Mm-hmm. And it was Stephanie Meyer. She said she noticed that she had little specks of brown stuff showing on her windows and vehicles out of nowhere. And so anyway, yeah, I mean, we're talking about the environmental impact, but also even more concerning, or just as concerning anyway, is the issue of property rights.
Yeah.
How is this impacting property rights in Lincoln County?
So, you know, I mean, the tactic from these, you know, renewables companies is, you know, it honestly pits neighbor against neighbor. I mean, you've got very sometimes polar, you know, opposite, you know, opinions on the property rights subject. And, I mean, ultimately what these companies are out to do, it's a huge land grab. I mean, they're trying to grab as much land as they can, as quickly as they can, however they can, right? And so if one of these were to be on a piece of property, the impact that these have extend far beyond the property boundary. I mean, we're not talking about something small and very, you know, confined to that particular person's property. This really does have a very far reaching impact. And that to me is, you know, a huge part of the issue.
Right. And I mean, if this worked and it's just a clean little windmill out there twirling and collecting energy,
right?
Then that idea seems appealing, and I think that more people would embrace it. But I think as more facts have come out, we're seeing that this actually has a negative impact on the environment, but then it also doesn't really produce a whole lot of electricity.
It really doesn't. And, you know, when you look at purely from a business and financial standpoint, I mean, the subsidies that these companies get, that's how they stay alive, right? I mean, if they were to try to operate on cash flow based on, you know, what they produce, there's no way that it would work.
Mm-hmm.
And the subsidies applied to that industry are completely lopsided to compare to, you know, oil and gas or any other industry. So,
right here talking with candidate Jim Shaw running for House District 32, right? Did I say that right?
That's 32? Right, 32.
Okay, House District 32. You guys stay with us, Jim. I'll kind of go to break, and we come back. We'll get to the details of your platform, what you're hearing from people out in your district, and we may talk about the incumbent that you're running against. And so more to come right here on the Jake Merrick Show, Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Let's check out Freedom Traffic. Yukon to downtown, 25 minutes. Norman to downtown, 28 minutes. Edmond to downtown, 22 minutes. And Midwest City to downtown, 23 minutes. Eastbound I-44 will be narrowed between Southwest 89th and 74th. That's going on today and tomorrow for that ongoing project. It's windy out there. Buckle up and drive careful. That's Freedom Traffic.
In times like these, being informed is more important than ever. So listen, mornings, noon, and on the way home to Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9.
Did you know that Enid Insurance Agency can get you coverage for accidents, theft, and even roadside assistance? Plus, they offer flexible payment options to fit your budget. New car, old car, pride and joy? Protect it with Enid Insurance Agency. Don't wait until it's too late. Let Enid Insurance Agency take care of you now. Get a quote and start your journey with confidence on the road. Enid Insurance Agency, protecting your new car with your peace of mind. Call today, 580-234-9548. 580-234-9548.
The Showplace Theater is the best place for live music.
And with some of the best acts around, like Andrew Schultz, June 14th.
But I know it's white woman rage.
There's a problem that has nothing to do with me. I need to solve it.
Gabriel Iglesias, July 20th.
You know, what if someone tries to kidnap you?
Well, they're going to earn it.
Walker Hayes, July 27th.
Fancy like Applebee's on a date.
And Ashley McBride, August 24th.
Riverwind, the Metro's best casino experience.
Hey, this is Jake with the Jake Merrick Show. Join me every Monday for your Market Monday update with Michael McGuire. We highlight those economic and financial questions you all are talking about. Inflation, stagnation, recession, the housing market, gas prices. And then if you need help with your personal finances, you can call Michael with McGuire Capital at 405-760-5863. Don't miss him every Monday on my show. And then every Saturday, catch the Bull and Bear Show from 10 to 1 right here on Freedom 96.9.
inflation, rising interest rates, unrest at home and around the world. Stay up to date and informed by listening to Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com.
Hey, Oklahoma, this is Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. I'll be bringing you the latest news you won't hear anywhere else, weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m.
How, pray tell, in the ever-loving hell, is it the fault of the American taxpayer who's already overtaxed, living in an era of Bidenflation, that their overtaxation and the money stolen from them, how is it their fault for demanding answers as to how those dollars are spent?
You can hear me every weekday from 2 to 5 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com.
Truth about your state every morning, right here on the Jake Merrick Show, the new Freedom 96.9.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the last leg of the Jake Merrick Show, here with candidate Jim Shaw running for House District 32. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
You bet. We talked a little bit before about your history in the oil and gas industry, your beautiful family living over in Lincoln County, and really, one of the hot-button issues for you is the expansion, opposing, really, the expansion of the windmills through Lincoln County. I know you joined a large and growing coalition out there that are really pushing back. I haven't been out there yet, but I've heard that there's signs all over the place.
That's right.
Really opposing this. So, a hot issue out there. And, you know, we talked just now off the air, is that we're not in the mudslinging business. We're not out to smear anyone. You're running against an incumbent, that's Representative right. Wallace.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure he's done a lot of good things, but he's just not in the fight like you are concerning windmills and green energy, right?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's where that again, is one of the items that I didn't feel like, you know, was getting the attention that it deserved. And I had a very strong, you know, opinion about it. And that's certainly a big part of the platform.
Right. Well, let's look at some of the other issues on your platform here. You mentioned, we already talked about property rights concerning the windmills and everything like that,
right,
and fighting against the green energy agenda. Let's explore that just a little bit more, this agenda. Mm-hmm. What have you seen from the oil and gas side of things? This agenda, we know it's a global agenda.
Yeah.
We know a lot of it's coming from the World Economic Forum and these climate change activists who are trying to really push a great reset, global great reset, and get everyone to buy electric cars by 2030. And so lots of people are concerned about this and the ramifications of this. But from your perspective, when you say the green agenda, what are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, whether it's industrial wind or solar or what have you, I mean, there is such a contrast to the clean burning of natural gas, you know, oil, you know, exploration and development. And so those two do not coexist very well in the same space. Mm-hmm. I mean, you physically can't put them on the same tract of land and do, you know, be successful on, you know, one or both sides of the house. So, there is a definite, you know, property rights and land grab component to the agenda. And there's also just this, inherent, you know, opposition to, you know, fossil fuels and, the longstanding, you know, success that we've had with that as a nation and as a world, you know, to provide, you know, energy to everybody that needs it. So,
one of the other issues you said is you believe your faith and conservative values should be reflected in our legislature. And there's a lot of talk, you know, with the whole Christian nationalism narrative. And, excuse me, in the state we're seeing the push to get the Ten Commandments on the walls of our schools to ensure that students have time devoted to prayer, these kinds of things. And, of course, there's the loud shout back of the separation of church and state. So what do you think about the separation of church and state?
You know, I mean, ultimately, I'm a Christian, and that's what I stand on every single day. I'm, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and, you know, without him, I'm nothing, right? And so, yes, I would love to see more people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. You know, and I also believe that there needs to be protections in place for, you know, our children in school or what have you. But I also know that those, you know, the spiritual and moral, you know, teachings, you know, that's the parent's responsibility. And that's where, you know, we really need to lean into, with the church and with parents being responsible for that.
Do you think that, how should our conservative values be reflected in law. Now, I had this great conversation when I went to Ryan Walters' event at OSU. I stayed after for about 45 minutes talking to some of the kids that were shouting,
right?
That were really disrupting the meeting. Afterward, I stayed and I actually engaged with them. And so one of the things I talked about was, hey, there has to be a moral basis for law. There's a reason we don't have Sharia law. Because our law is not based on the Quran.
Right.
It's actually rooted in Judeo-Christian values and biblical values. And so, again, we're seeing this, I think, rise of the secular humanistic crowd and saying we want to be a completely secular state without any religious influence. Do you think that's possible?
No. I don't think that's possible. I mean, you know, again, and like it says on the website, on the platform, I'm a constitutional conservative, right? So I think coming back to how our Constitution was developed and the principles that were on that, and you know, being Christian, you know, influenced, and I think that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, here with Jim Shaw, candidate for House District 32. Jim, you have a bachelor's degree in financing and accounting.
Yeah,
we're talking about the budget.
Yeah.
It's kind of the highlight of the whole legislative session. We're coming down to the culmination of the session where they have to resolve some kind of budget for the state. We're seeing the back and forth between the House and the Senate. What do you think about appropriations here in the state, the overall budget, taxes, where money is being spent?
Sure.
I'll just throw that big old ball of wax to you.
That's a big one. Like I kind of said earlier, I mean, there's always room for improvement no matter where you're at or what you're doing. So there's always areas of opportunity to go and attack. You know, I think with my experience of having, you know, co-owned and operated a business, you learn, you know, it's necessary for you to have some fiscal responsibility and discipline, right? And so you have to be very mindful of where you're deploying money and you know, what purpose it's going to have, and the impact that it's going to have. So, yeah, I mean, there's probably, you know, a certain number of things that, you know, we could be doing differently. And, you know, taxes are obviously always a big subject for people. And, you know, taxes.
What's your idea of the tax reform? What would be your ideal look as far as taxes, property tax, state income tax?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it needs to be affordable. It needs to be understandable. People should be able to understand, you know, what that tax is representing, what it means. And it needs to be universal. It needs to be applied across the board to all people. And so evenly. So, is there room to reduce taxes? Absolutely. Can we do that overnight and just cut one of them to zero? No, I don't think so without having a very dramatic and you know, severe consequence the other direction. But I think there's definite steps that we should be taking to look at reducing them and eventually eliminating some component of it.
Here with Jim Shaw, candidate for House District 32. So would you say universal across the board? Would you agree with Governor in saying that, you know, the Native Americans, if they do not pay state income tax, then that means no one should pay in state income tax?
You know, just speaking to state income tax in general, I don't know enough about, you know, what the governor is referencing there with the Native Americans. And but I do think that if eliminating the state income tax is kind of the first step to providing some relief to people here in the state, I think we should actively be pursuing that. Again, not as an overnight solution, but as a near or longer term solution.
What are you hearing at the doorstep? When you're going out knocking doors, engaging with voters in your district, what are they saying to you is they're most concerned about?
Maybe a little frighteningly so. They said they're ready for some new blood, you know, which is, you know, maybe a common theme every election cycle. But no, people are just ready for a change. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's like, you know, politics is an industry, right? And, you know, when you start boiling that down, every industry has some kind of commodity or product or service that it's selling or buying or trading. And I think for me personally, the people of this state are the product. And I think we're tired of being taken advantage of. And, you know, we're not just another name on a sheet of paper. I mean, people are getting more and more involved and vocal, which is great. But overwhelming, the response is change. They're absolutely ready for some change.
How about immigration? Obviously a hot button topic across the nation.
Yeah.
And we have this recent push from both McCall in the House and Treat in the Senate to for this new immigration bill. What when, I mean, I, personally, when I'm talking to other candidates in these interviews, they're saying they're hearing from all their people, immigration is at the top of their list as a primary concern. What do you think should be done in Oklahoma concerning immigration, or can we do anything about immigration?
Yeah, I, honestly, I haven't heard much of on immigration when I've been at the doors. Maybe it's just the folks that I've talked to, it hasn't been kind of top of mind for them out in my district. But ultimately, you know, if people are here illegally and they're bypassing the process that's in place that, you know, would give them a path to, you know, citizenship, I don't think, you know, that should be a very comfortable experience for them. You know, there's rules in place and laws in place. You know, maybe some of those need some adjusting and what have you. But yeah, I mean, that's you know, I guess where I would sit on that issue.
Awesome. Jim, how can people get in touch with you and find out more about your campaign?
Absolutely. So my website is Shaw for OK. That's SHAWFOROK.com. There's links to the Facebook page on there. There's ways to donate and volunteer and become a part of our process and our platform. So yeah, just go to the website and all the information will be there.
Awesome. I appreciate your time, Jim.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
All right. It's Jim Shaw, House candidate for District 32. So go check him out. More about his campaign, shawforok.com. All right. Coming up tomorrow, you don't want to miss my conversation with Mick Rosato. No, I'm sorry. That's on Thursday. Mick Rosato is talking about the battle against the World Health Organization and making sure that we in Oklahoma are protected. Our medical freedom is protected here in Oklahoma. That's going to be a good show. Tomorrow, I'm actually talking to the mayor of Dell City and Superintendent Dr. Rick Cobb of Middell Schools, along with Gina Standridge from Middell School Board Ward 3. We're going to be talking about the jail situation. They have spotlighted Dell City as the selected location for relocating Oklahoma County Jail, and Dell City is not in favor of it. So we're going to hear directly from them about why that is a horrible idea, in their opinion, and I think they have some legitimate concerns. But, hey, I so appreciate you guys tuning in. Be sure to check out more at freedom969.com. Download the app, and let's do it again tomorrow on The Jake Merrick Show, Freedom 96.9.
Jake Merrick Show is a product of Freedom 96.9. All content is the property of Champlin Broadcasting, and use of the broadcast without consent is prohibited. Waking up, waking up.